Speaking of school, the state has come out with guidance for the upcoming school year to help protect students and staff from COVID-19. According to the State Departments of Health Services and Public Instruction, masks are strongly recommended. They're also encouraging social distancing, testing, and vaccinations for people who are eligible. For some students in Wisconsin, school begins 3 weeks from today. In a little bit, we'll talk about how parents can help get kids ready. First, we're going to focus on the recommendations from the DHS and DPI, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to the state's guidance for the school year? Do you want your kids' school district to adopt these policies to require masks? Do you want to see vaccination requirements where available? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Madeline Fox is Wisconsin Public Radio's education reporter based in Milwaukee. Maddie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Well, we're looking at in-person education, even for a lot of schools that were not in person for a lot of last year. Did you get a sense of confidence from state officials that we can have a healthy school year this time around?
That's kind of a tough question. I think that definitely state officials are pushing for an in-person school year, an all-in-person school year, and pushing for a healthy school year. But I do think that the Delta variant is causing a lot of concern, as is just the fact that kids under 12 can't be vaccinated yet. And so there was already some concern going into the school year about whether we might see transmission among younger kids. And certainly the Delta variant has amped that up. But I think what the message that we're hearing from state policymakers is that if we put certain precautions in place, it is definitely feasible to have a more safe school year and an in-person school year as much as possible.
Before we start digging into these recommendations from these state departments, Maddie, a key point here, recommendations, not requirements. Yes. Can you talk about that?
I sure can. So we saw this last year with the Department of Public Instruction's recommendations as well, that they can highly recommend certain things. They can put out a whole laundry list of things that school districts should consider in setting their standards and their procedures and their precautions for the year. But they don't have the power, or at least are not willing to exercise the power to make sure that schools do that. That was a little bit of a moot point last year because we had a statewide mask mandate in effect. And so that meant that schools had to wear masks because everybody had to wear masks. But this time around, it is very much up to the school districts, and in part because of some of the political pushback we saw last year and the fact that we're all kind of tired of the new COVID normal. You are seeing more school districts this year deciding to disregard those recommendations.
Digging,
they can do that because, as you said, they are just recommendations.
So with that in mind, let's look at some of these specific recommendations. According to this guidance, who should be wearing masks, where and when?
So the guidance says that everybody should be wearing a mask, actually, even if you're vaccinated. If you're inside, for sure, from what I'm hearing from health professionals is that when kids are outside at recess, for example, and of course, when they're eating lunch, you know, there are times when kids just can't be masked. So, but the idea is, especially in light of the Delta variant and in light of the CDC recommendations that we saw as a result of rising cases, they are suggesting that everybody wears a mask.
And then that's masks. How about physical distancing? We've seen 6 feet. We've seen 3 feet. What are we hearing from the state?
So the official recommendation at this point is 3 feet. However, that's sort of with a caveat that more distance is definitely better. More distance will give you a better, if you'll pardon the pun, breathing room for the fact that droplets will move around. And sometimes, you know, kids aren't wearing masks. So one of the other things to keep in mind is that 3 feet is when everybody's masked. Once you get into situations like in the lunchroom where kids have their masks down, DPI and the CDC recommend pulling it back out to that 6 feet or more if possible.
We're talking to WPR education reporter Madeline Fox, looking at new recommendations from the state's health and education departments for back-to-school season and COVID-19 safety. Okay, how about vaccines? How are these state departments treating that issue? Vaccine mandates, contentious around the country. What are we hearing from these state departments?
That's another in the recommendations bucket from the state departments for schools. We are seeing actually some I think private and independent schools that have the capacity to do this are saying that school teachers and staff need to be vaccinated or submit to testing once or twice a week. But generally speaking, there's a lot of encouragement. And in fact, we're seeing, you know, schools hosting vaccine clinics because they are good community sites to have those events and that families can easily get to because they do that during this school year, of course. And so we're seeing an encouragement of vaccination for that 12 and up group, but not a requirement so far.
It's Brianna Collar at 800-642-1234. Bill is with us in Blue River. Bill, hi.
Yes, I was just concerned about the vaccination with the children. It just seems like they're, even if they do get COVID, their recovery rate is extremely well. And so why do we subject our children to these, well, I don't trust a lot of this stuff with these vaccinations. I don't even refer to them as a vaccination. I refer to them as an experimental. They haven't even been approved by the FDA.
Bill, so, thanks a lot for the call. Of course, they've been approved for emergency use. Waiting for that likely a full approval within the next few weeks, probably. But Bill brings up a good point, especially for kids 12 and under, not currently eligible to get a vaccine at all. Larger, better recovery rates, less risk of the illness. But as you're saying, Maddie, Delta variant is raising concerns about kids, more of them getting sick now. Did these guidelines address that, the 12 and under risk because of Delta variant without vaccines available?
I think it just was an underscoring of the fact that the unvaccinated people are more vulnerable. I mean, we saw even as vaccines started to roll out largely across the country, to older age groups, you know, first to the 18s and ups, and then we brought it down to 12-year-olds and 12 to 18 as well. We started seeing the infection rate falling among some of the older age groups and growing among some of the younger age groups just because they didn't have that vaccination protection. So I think really it is just an underscoring of the fact that if you're not vaccinated, you are at risk. And so unfortunately, that has to include all of our kids under 12 for the time being.
And what have you been hearing from school districts, Maddie, around the state about how they're getting ready to bring kids back in after this summer?
Well, they've got a lot to think about. I mean, certainly there are these precautions. So a lot of them are planning mask mandates for just some groups of students, just unvaccinated students, some of them for all students and all staff, like the CDC recommends. And then also thinking about other precautions that we saw last year as well. So distancing, cleaning, improving ventilation. Actually, a lot of schools are looking into, and actually have been over the past year, looking into ways to upgrade their HVAC systems so that they're not circulating air that might have not just COVID, actually, but all kinds of other diseases and illnesses that spread in schools. As anyone who's been spent a lot of time around elementary schoolers will tell you, they get sick a lot. So we are seeing that. We're also seeing, you know, schools are trying to get back to a little more normal and get back on a regular pace of learning after a year that was actually disrupted for a lot of kids, whether that was because of virtual learning or temporary school closures because of COVID spread, or just the fact that it was a really traumatizing year for a lot of families and a really difficult year for a lot of families. And so trying to find ways to support those students socially and emotionally and academically.
Maddie, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Madeline Fox is Wisconsin Public Radio's education reporter based in Milwaukee. We talked to her about the state's recommendations for the upcoming school year, including masking, social distancing, COVID testing, and more. We're talking about the upcoming school year. A lot of students are going to be returning to the classroom, this time with the highly contagious COVID-19 Delta variant going around. Officials at the state health and education agencies are urging everyone at schools to wear masks and take other precautions. It may be a stressful time, especially for kids. Our next guest has some advice on how parents can help their children readjust to in-person learning. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let us know how your kids are feeling about going back to school, what you've been doing to help put them at ease. If you're one of those students yourself, love to hear from you. Or if you're getting ready at your school, if you work there, what are you doing to help your kids make the transition back to school? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jenny Brownson is a senior lecturer in teaching and learning at the School of Education at UW-Milwaukee. She used to teach fourth and fifth grade in Milwaukee Public Schools. Jenny, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's great to be here.
Well, back to school time, I know in normal times, Jenny, can be stressful enough. These are not normal times. How much added stress and anxiety can this situation give to students and families?
Well, I mean, look at what, you know, the previous speaker spoke to, right? We don't even know what's going to happen for sure. Where it looks like we're at 6 feet distance, we're masked up. Schools have to make the tough decision on whether we go back face to face or if it's going to be a hybrid situation. So just even the uncertainty is tough to know. So it can be pretty hard, especially when you're 10 years old and entering fourth grade.
What are some of the most important things parents could be doing right now to help get their kids ready for going back likely to in-person school right now?
Well, I like to call it the pandemic as opportunity. If we can look at it maybe just a little bit more positively, this really is an opportunity for parents to lean in, to get to know their kids even more, to ask them how they're feeling, to ask them what they think about what's going on. So in school anyway, we know this, right? We know this as teachers and educators, that inquiry is so important. Kids need to ask questions as they move along anyway in regular times. So encourage them to be inquisitive and to ask questions, and help them to identify how they're feeling, identify the emotions. That's really important too, and that helps to dissipate them along the way.
When a kid expresses a negative emotion about school, worry, fear, whatever it might be, how can parents talk to them about that and not, I guess, diminish those feelings?
Well, again, I think it's important just to have a regular time that you speak to your child about these kinds of things. Like, this is when we're going to talk about how you're feeling, and you get to unpack that together a little bit. And it's okay to acknowledge the feelings. We also don't want to go in the direction, though, of, you know, oh my gosh, this pandemic, it's getting kind of scary and that kind of thing. But we can say, look, it's okay. Things are uncertain right now, but we have people working on this, right? We have people asking questions and trying to figure out vaccines and how to handle things like going back to school face to face.
I understand you recommend that students and parents actually try some role-playing exercises to give kids an idea of what to expect. What's that going to look like?
Well, I think it's important to, first of all, recognize our audience, right? Kids are already creative and inquisitive and curious. And we remember when our kids are 3 and 4 and 5, they're always role-playing, right? I'm the mom, you're the dad, let's do this. So go ahead and open that up for your kids. Role play a situation. So let's talk about what this is going to look like when you get back to school. And we have a mask. So maybe practice with a mask on for an hour, and then maybe try it for a couple hours, and just kind of work up to that time in September when you get back to school. And you can kind of practice what does 6 feet look like at home in the living room? And then they have an idea of what that might look like in school.
We're talking to Jenny Brownson from the School of Education at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, talking about getting kids ready for the new school year with an extra dose of anxiety maybe for a lot of kids because of the pandemic, because a lot of them did school from home last year. Maybe this is their first time in a new school. 800-642-1234 is the number to call if you have an experience to share in your family, at your school, or a question for our guest. Again, 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Willa is with us in Sheboygan. Willa, hello.
Hello there.
What did you want to bring up, Willa?
So I am a 4K teacher at a nature-based preschool, and I just wanted to put my bid forward for nature-based education because last year, in the midst of the pandemic, other schools in my district had to close periodically, but ours was able to stay in person the whole year, and no one got sick. And maybe that was because we were outside more, maybe because we were masking inside, but it was just a wonderful experience all said and done. So I feel very fortunate for that.
Willa, thanks a lot for the call. I can vouch for the value of getting me outside a lot during the pandemic. Jenny, can you talk about the value for kids?
Yeah, absolutely. So what Willa is talking about is what we call experiential learning. So really getting out there, being kinesthetic and moving around and trying different things. And really, like she was saying, a good place to do that is outside. I know a lot of summer programs here at UWM have thought, well, let's just put them outside and maybe that would, you know, help in terms of the safety. So there's definitely opportunities to do that for sure.
Thanks a lot for that call, Willa, at 800-642-1234. Do you have thoughts, Jenny, for teachers watching that new crew of kids show up in their classroom and being able to reach out? Now, this isn't one-on-one necessarily, but it being able to reach out and help deal with some of those anxieties that may surround return.
Well, I think I'll go back to the role play. I mean, when I was a classroom teacher in MPS, it was all about trying things out. And that way we can feel within ourselves, what does this really look like? And what is it going to feel like? And then give them the opportunity to say, okay, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. And hey, I mean, that's literacy based, right? So they can write about it. They can record themselves and talk about it. They can stay 6 feet distance and talk about it with somebody else. Also, I would say for teachers and certainly for parents to collaborate as much as possible. Again, we want, you know, this to happen anyway during a regular school year, but really make sure that line of communication is open. And what does that mean? Is it email? Is it some kind of online platform? So, and parents offer to help if you can ask how you can help in some way. And that I have found keeps those lines open and then people know what to expect.
Let's bring on another caller now. Samantha is with us in Whitehall. Samantha, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to know, I've got a nephew who's 17 now. He just turned 17 a couple weeks ago, but he won't go get the vaccine because he heard a bunch of junk from his grandfather. So he won't go get this vaccine now. Now, would that be something, because you've got the younger kids too that can't get it, you know, under 11 or whatever, but or whatever it is. But can you explain, like, if you had someone that refused to get vaccinated, would you, like, just maybe, because I'm just the aunt, would you just maybe, like, leave them at home? They wouldn't get to go to school because if there's other, because if, you know, that kind of situation.
Samantha, thanks a lot for that call. I don't know if you have a health recommendation, Jenny, because you're coming from the education school there, but do you have thoughts for families who might be have internal conflict over the precautions they're going to take with the school year approaching?
First of all, I would say that is, completely normal. I think as parents, we already have, you know, those internal conflicts, you know, when our kids first start school, when they go on to the milestones of, you know, middle school, high school, that kind of thing. So just, first of all, be gentle with yourself around that. And you have to do what's, you know, what you feel is right around, you know, the vaccinations for sure. But, you know, schools are making these hard decisions in terms of, you know, how to help kids, be safe. We have these vaccinations now. I think what's important, Rob, is that, you know, we have, like I mentioned earlier about inquiry, we have these scientists working on vaccinations or pandemics and what that looks like. I mean, that's very academic work, right? And kids are working their way up to this. So, you know, just have those kinds of conversations. Like, these scientists are meeting all over the globe, not just in the United States, on how to fix this problem that we're having. And so that kids can, you know, kind of talk about that and work up to that and that kind of thing. So that can be a very academic endeavor.
Thanks for that call, Samantha. In our last minute or so, Jenny, can you leave us with some maybe some inspiration or encouragement as we count down toward opening day of school?
Well, I think, again, our kids tell us what they need, even though they might not use words, but ask them. And they are incredibly creative beings. Help them lean into an art form that they particularly love. That is just really helps open up their cognitive pathways. And just remember, you know, we can talk about what school is going to be like And when we get there, it might be a little different. Keep talking about it. Have a daily spot where, even if you don't see your child after school, keep a journal so you can talk back and forth. And remember, you can always give an air hug at school or at home.
Jenny, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
That's Jenny Brownson, senior lecturer in teaching and learning at the School of Education at UW-Milwaukee. We talked to her today about how parents can help their kids readjust to life in the classroom. Earlier, WPR education reporter Madeline Fox told us about the state's guidance for the next school year.